to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alley, just from over the board. Happy New Year to everyone. S&P futures are up 1950. Dow futures up 165. NASDAQ futures up 61. They were down last night. Woe to anybody who tries to sell this stuff in the evening, because there must be a phone call to the Fed or somebody and says that people are actually selling and somebody starts buying. This is really strange. And I just hope it ends well, Frank, but I don't know. What can I say? I'm not going to start the new year by saying I think it won't, but I just hope it will. Let's put it that way. For all concerned, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tom.
As I used to say on the trading floor, Happy Bleeping New Year. your favorite owner is in Washington. With the team from Washington, where the hell they are now?
Oh, Dan Snyder?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's my second favorite. I like Jerry Jones the best. There are so many guys that are dislikable that are owners of NFL teams.
I would say that Jerry put more money in the stadium than anybody else himself. So
supposedly the owner of the LA Rams did too.
Yeah, who's that guy?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
He's a big shot. But they put, because Jerry's deal was they got half the money from the area. I know this because I did a tour there. Half the money from the area, so the place was supposed to cost $650 million. And I guess it sort of got done at that number, done being a relative term. And then Jerry just kept improving and pushed it over $1 billion. But I think the next $400 million were on him. So they have all the stuff like literally... Well, it's starting the year with potty humor. You can't go to the can without watching the game. Every place somebody was at the ends, if you're just going there to, you know, hang out and chase women or whatever you do, there's a TV virtually everywhere. So any spot that somebody reported to him where, gee, I was in the stall number 5 and couldn't see the game, in one of TV. They have more flat screen TVs in that place than anywhere else on earth, supposedly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a...
By the way, the owner of the Rams is a guy by the name of Stan Kroenke.
God, who's he?
He supposedly came up... his father owned a lumber company in some small town in Missouri, but his big start was he married one of the Walmart heiresses.
Ah.
And then he started his own real estate company and did really well with that, and then kind of parlayed that into his... Kroenke Sports and Entertainment Group, which is the group that owns the Los Angeles Rams, the English Premier League soccer team Arsenal, which is one of the, you know, most profitable sports organizations in the world. He also owns the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, the Colorado Avalanche in the NHL, and then some minor league sports teams as well.
Wow. Well, you know, there's
about flying under the radar.
That goes to prove some advice I got from a classmate's father. He told me to marry for money because love I could find anywhere.
Looking for nub in all the wrong places. Was that Eddie Murray?
And this man was also a pro sports team owner.
Well, see, now, Eddie Weber, even though he did find one of the nicest people I've ever met to be his whiff, so that's probably a good thing. In fact, I think it's a very good thing. But, Manny, you could have earned money the old-fashioned way, either inherited it or married it.
I know. What the hell was I thinking?
Well, you know, you got to upgrade yourself, though. You can't be hanging around in bars where you might actually find somebody.
Oh, with us.
Yeah. I mean, you can't hang around in bowling alleys. You got to hang around in where only the rich people are.
That's right.
You know, you got to find your way in. It was like, God, what was the movie? I got to talk about it way back in the day. Remember the movie Gentleman Jim? You ever see that one, Frank, with Errol Flynn was Gentleman Jim Corbett?
No, I only read the book.
Well, he joined this high-end club in San Francisco, and the first thing he did was have himself paged like 5 times a day so everybody knew he was there. I can see Frank doing something like that. Paging Mr. Fahey. Paging Mr. Fahey, so you know who the hell the new member was.
No. You can't be king of the Irish goodbye if you do that sort of stuff.
That's true. The Irish are not big on that kind of... Well, Corbett was Irish, I believe, wasn't it?
Gentleman Jim Corbett? Yes, he was.
Interesting. But anyway, Frank, we've got the new year. We've got a last year, which, let's say the money supply, 25%. And I've been spending some time. We've got a lot of days off going through... By the way, if I was a doctor, a PhD, a PhD, all I would tell you is if you couldn't sleep, pick up the Monetary History of the United States and read about four pages, and if you don't fall asleep, there's something really wrong with you. Just saying. But you have to read the footnotes and the tables as well. If you just read the story, you can actually kind of make it. But once you dig into the footnotes and the detail behind it, it's impossible. And, But this, what the Fed is doing now, and my question is, Frank, why? We've already got markets at record highs, and I've got the unadjusted M2 here. The last week, there's $70 billion put in the market. The week before is $65. The week before is $115. The week before is like $90. Every single week, every single day, there's money being poured into the place. For what, Frank? I mean, what are we? What is the goal here? There's no lack of liquidity.
Because they just consciously decided that they were going to give money to the 5% rather than give people $300 a week, so they didn't have to have a job. It appears to be that way. Look how much they're spending on it. Start adding up the weeks that they have done that.
Well, we've Maddie and I were talking on the way in. Of course, I spent the weekend with a lot of right wingers. And you know,
I skirted the edge of that this
weekend.
Yes,
you did.
With you when I saw you.
Yes, you almost got into it with Audrey and her pals. You know, it's a tough group, Frank.
I said nothing.
Got to be a lean dog to break into that pack. I'm just saying. The on New Year's Eve, and this is not a criticism. This is just an observation. Does anybody, if you look around, I mean, I think people maybe are getting an idea of it. If you look around, do you realize what, and I don't know, obviously people are dying, people are in hospitals, so you got to, you know, whatever. But it's becoming a trade-off of some kind between people staying in and people not staying in. And I don't know, I'm not Solomon, I don't have all the statistics like the Fauci supposedly does and still makes a fool out of himself on national TV daily.
He's been roadblocked to getting statistics.
Could be, but...
And that guy from head of FEMA, I'm sure, is head of data collection.
It's
the guy who was head of FEMA under Bush.
It's sort of like people becoming the celebrity traders, becoming the celebrity scientists. I mean, I don't believe those guys either, but anyway, we had... New Year's Eve with Audrey's gang and some really good people there, and the blue collar people, these are people, you know, these are my people for sure. Frank, the gulf, I'll say the gulf between those of us that have stayed working and those who haven't is mind boggling. The 90% of the conversation was people's new watches that let you know if you're having sex because your heartbeat goes up, and the various and sundry Hulus, Amazon Prime, Netflix, where you can find all these new shows, and you can binge watch them for like 4 days because you're home doing nothing. And I'm sitting there drinking. I wasn't drinking. That's even more bizarre. I'm getting there going, boy, I need like a bottle or some, you know. And again, these are terrific. But this is what the conversation is down to. Hey, what are you watching? Where are you getting your movies when you're sitting home doing nothing? I mean, what are we doing to ourselves?
It's self-inflicted.
Well, if you're not working, an amazing amount of your mental, I'll say, workout has to do with dealing with people at work, even dealing with people transportation. There's a healthiness to that, Frank, I think. And if you don't do it and you sit home and watch movies all day, I think it's a huge change. You know, I don't know what to do about it. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just saying I really notice it after all this time. Do you or am I just being nutty here?
No. I'm always amazed at how much video people cram down their throats, their own throats. I've read a lot of books.
Well, I mean, you get out, even though you and your wife go commiserate with birds, but it's not like, God, what's on Netflix today? There's something. I mean, I like watching old movies too, but I'm saying you can lose it real fast. I know when my buddies from Notre Dame, when we get together, I'm going to say 3/4 of them are retired. The conversation among that group is light years different than among the people that are still working. I mean, it just is. I'm not saying it's worse or better. You're disagreeing with me. I can tell by your silence.
I think I've never understood it. That's why I wouldn't stay in the same bar all night long. I'd have to go to a new one.
It's a lot like if you. God, here's a shot, Maddie. For the get me on the sexist thing on the first day of the year. It's a lot like having a bunch of friends of yours that are ladies, and every one of them has had a baby in the last year. You got to just put them off in one room because that's all they're going to talk about.
That's a reasonable thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's a reasonable thing to talk about because babies are pretty important, right? But Netflix isn't.
But you have to understand, and this is very apparent because these people that watch TV all day long, all of a sudden you'll get, did you watch the hearings on Georgia, the Georgia voting? And I'm thinking, God, I didn't even know there were hearings.
I was forced to listen to them.
Who'd they take an oath to? The Constitution of the United States? Nobody testified under oath on these. I saw smatterings of the hearings in Michigan where Giuliani refused to take an oath. Now, why would you do that?
He's an attorney.
Well, they have no problems lying under oath. Why would think how big the lie must be if he won't take an oath?
It's one of these, again, Frank, if you look at it from afar, from the middle, which gives you, I think, a little bit better view of things, although, like I said, it's lonely in the middle. I think if you were to go through every single election, certainly the election here of the county board president when they decided not to send the absentee ballots back to the precincts the first time, I think you could go in every single area and find just how sloppy every one of these elections is in some areas of the country. And how screwed up they can be, and if you look at certain areas. If you look at what these people are saying, because Audrey, of course, was all over it, and I'm like, it's just not evidence. It's interesting, and it's something that I'd be concerned about, but it's not 6 million votes. I mean, come on. I mean, but the...
It's not 11,780 either.
Right, but... I understand, but it's not like there's nothing crappy going on. I'm not talking about.
And
one
how many of these people volunteer to work? You actually get paid.
What I'm trying to say is, there's a big difference between the one lady was on there just going on and on and on. I was dying, I think that there's a certain. I've said this before. There's a certain discipline to me walking down the block. There's like five. Well, there's a Democratic judge, a Republican judge, and then there's what somebody else, and there's like I don't. What do they all do? There's like five people there, right? Somebody's got the book, and somewhere or another, I know
they're there to make sure the Democratic judge doesn't shred the ballot.
Well, whatever. What I'm saying is they look at me. They have my signature in longhand from the day I put it in there, and maybe some of that's been scanned now on a computer or whatever, but. Three people look at me, look at the signature, and my signature actually changed, because I'm getting lazier, I guess, from Thomas to Tom, and they go, hey, we got to make sure that that's what you've done. Let me see your last driver's license. It wasn't like to see who I was, and sure enough, my last driver's license, I was lazy there, too, and put Tom, and they say, okay, go vote. I mean, there is no doubt that this lady talking about her daughter or somebody was checking signatures and said she didn't know, wouldn't know a signature if it slapped her upside the head, and she's doing like thousands of these an hour. And then what do? They destroy the envelope because the signature's on the envelope, right? Not on the ballot, so they can tell you voted. And they throw the envelope on it.
So this is anecdotal. It wasn't the lady who was looking at them. It was the lady who heard it from someone else.
No,
that
sets off
my BS alarm immediately.
I'm saying the lady who was doing it was her daughter. But I mean,
it doesn't matter.
My point is,
how much did your mother know about what you did why you did it?
My point is the idea. It's way too soon in so many states to just have a huge stack of crap with signatures on there. It is. I mean, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that it was a big jump from what I went through. That's all I'm saying. And if somebody wanted to do
something, Tom, understand the number of people that voted early and by mail in Illinois is very high. So when you came in, they got to pretend they were doing the job.
Ah.
How long was the line at your place?
I was it.
Okay, I rest my case.
I've never seen
you ever sneak into a game through the door where nobody, where there's only ticket takers. You can't do it.
My point is that when you start hearing stories about, and I think that these are legit stories. Now, whether or not they're legit complaints, I don't know. That all of a sudden, you know, how many ballots showed up the day after the election? Some states changed their policy without whatever you want to call it, a law passed by the legislature, which is not right, Frank. It's not right.
No, it's a pandemic. Wait a minute. We're saying that everything's on the states. The federal government is, okay? And our fearless leader has said it's the governor's job. The governor's job was to make sure that the election got run, too. So they're damned if they don't make decisions, and they're damned if they do.
The idea of having federal elections controlled by the you know, the way the states do it, with some can allow this, some allow that. You shouldn't have 50 different
rules. God forbid your name's Willie Smith in Georgia.
Well, like I said,
I bet you, I'd make a bet right now 100 people were disenfranchised with that name or variation.
I never said it. I don't like the fact that it's crooked up and down. I would like something like you can vote for your governor and your other crooks whenever you feel like it, but federal election day is on a Sunday, like it is in France, and we're going to be open from 5 to 8 or something, and blah blah blah. I don't have a problem with that, Frank. I want it to be straighter. I'm not saying
there's
this
one party that has a problem with it, Tom.
They both have a party problem.
No. And maybe in Illinois they have a party problem with it. But no, it's historically the Republican Party. And they're the ones who have been culling the voter list too.
This is
fraud on even a bigger deal.
Frank, everybody
more
knows.
More than 6 million people were taken off the
I think that everybody knows.
Voting rolls.
Or everybody has a suspicion that the Republican Party likes to get people off the ballot if they can or make it difficult to vote. And the Democratic Party is going to give everybody a chicken to show up and vote for people they don't even know about. I mean, that's the two sides' motivation.
The Democrats benefit from turnout. There's
like
no
I
question.
Said. Well, but I'm saying
Republicans benefit from making sure black folk and historically immigrants can't vote. What went on the past 4 years when it came to calling a voting roll is astounding.
I said both parties are very good at it. They do it a different way. But do you?
One lets people vote and the other doesn't.
I have a real problem with people that have never voted in their life showing up on a bus from someplace, be it the hills of Pennsylvania or Inglewood, and all of a sudden they all pile in. I mean, come on, what defines a citizen, for God's sake?
We know it's a birthright citizenship.
Yeah, well,
if you're 18 or over and not convicted of a felony in this state, you have the right to vote.
You know, I want everybody,
and whether or not you went past the second grade,
I I don't have a.
That's a right.
You know,
it's a citizen sacrament.
You,
I'm not in the business of taking away sacraments.
I'm not either.
From religions or from people.
I'm not. I don't like the idea of somebody beating down the doors with a van, shoving people in the van, giving them $20, and say, "Let's go vote." I'm not a fan of that either.
Well, no, I don't blame you.
So, I mean, I think that as Trump has given us an amazing education in just how crooked a lot of stuff is in Washington, him included.
And it's never ending.
It's never ending. But I think as people testify in these hearings, like I said, all I did was say it's not evidence. It's not doesn't prove anything. But it is astounding to hear how this crap went down in a lot of these precincts and stuff, Frank. I mean, I'm sure it's always been like that, but it's just astounding.
I even missed the non-evidence. I saw that crazy drunk woman in Michigan hired to clean screens and claimed that she was a data analysis person for Dominion.
Well, okay. Enough of this. But when you talk about the people, and Maddie and I were talking about on the way in, the Trumpers are going to do something on the 6th, and now they got people in Congress voting against us. I don't agree with any of that stuff, Frank, but the idea that somehow or other we're dropping right back into this Pelosi sort of Obama 8-year crap that where the rich got richer, and that guy did more for the rich than any Republican ever did.
It's hard to say that about him. And not
I'm not talking about him personally.
Trump.
I mean, him personally, but This thing is, I mean, what is there anybody in this country, what is the power behind Nancy Pelosi? There isn't, I don't know a Democrat that likes her, that wants her in there. Why is no matter what happens, who's behind her? Is her husband got a crony group in the back that ponies up money and pays everybody to vote for her or something? I mean, something in Washington is really, really wrong. And to the extent
where they give women power,
I'm
being tongue in cheek on this.
That's not it.
You're making an argument right now for Bernie. What do you think, Maddie?
I'm not.
Smart man.
what I'm saying is that people wanted Trump to go out there and do just what he said he was going to do and didn't, drain the swamp. That swamp is worse. We still need somebody to drain the swamp, and it's not Joe Biden. And it's not Nancy.
Can the swamp be drained at the federal level?
It's going to get drained someday. I honestly hope it's not with bullets, Frank. I really do. I mean, that's what I believe. And what we're doing with the difference in income with people and difference in assets is exactly what happened before 1929. The difference in how much 1% of the people or 5% of the people had versus everybody else in 29 was higher than ever. It got pretty close again in like 2000, but not quite there. Do we have to go through that again? God bless it. Do we have to? These people are never going to stop. They're never going to stop. And this Federal Reserve is bound and determined to make 1% of the people richer than God, and the other 99% are going to have an inflation rate that they can't handle because they never get a raise. I mean, look at this last bill they just passed. How is it? I mean, fortunately, a lot of people don't read the stuff that we read, and they don't even see what's going on. Do you think we should give airlines $15 billion to pay people without putting a $100,000 top on how much you can pay them? Do we really want to give, what are the people who run the places make? $1 million, $2 million, $3 million? I have no idea. Do we really want to give them?
I mean, these entitlements are out of control.
But the entitlements are all for rich people now, or for certain companies. And yet, we're going to bitch about $200 versus, or $600 versus a $2,000 check. The United Airlines guy is going to get that in a day. How can there be no limit on the salaries you pay a company that you just gave $3 billion to? I mean,
or limits on buying your own stock.
Or that. Well, I doubt if they're buying it now, but maybe they are. Who knows? Now, the banks, we gave them all their money. Now, instead of the money being there and actually paying interest to people, we're going to buy their own stock back. I mean, this anybody who...
Speaking of banks, I don't know if you use PayPal, and I think they may be a bank now, but
I am a member of PayPal
for certain transactions.
I think I used it once.
And I opened it up, and I can invest in cryptocurrencies with as little as a dollar.
What is a dollar worth of Bitcoin even buy you?
I don't know. It was at over 34,000 today. Now it's at about 31,000. So that's down 15% since I went to bed until I woke up.
So if you gave him the buck, you got what, 85 cents now?
I did an audit on a cryptocurrency fund, and they buy about 10 different of them. But all this is fractional, and it goes out, 100 decimal points.
But how does the ownership, does Bitcoin, having never bought one, with a pick, can a fund even own it?
Yeah, well, the owners kept track of on a chain of some sort. Nobody can explain it to me to where I feel comfortable. But we're talking like old people.
Hey, well, we have you for 2 minutes. We have you for 2 minutes. I want to talk about some something that I don't know if people are listening to or not. But we decided to delist what, 3 more Chinese stocks in New York Stock Exchange. And now,
how many left did they list?
Well, my question is, what are they doing there, Frank? The idea of people must know that I'm not a big rules guy, but rules sort of are there for a reason. And before you let somebody not use them, there should be a legitimate reason. I believe that in our day, for a stock to be listed in our stock exchange, it was a preferred stock can be listed, but the common stock was the one that was listed first. And bonds can be listed, right? But the idea was that the company, the common stock, had to have voting rights, correct? And it had to have had to be audited, had to be managed like the SEC, it had to be audited every year, all this kinds of stuff. And along comes this Alibaba, where Jack Ma is the entire owner of every asset in the place, right? But the only thing you get with no voting rights is an income stream out of Bermuda, if my memory serves me correct. New York Stock Exchange couldn't wait to drop their pants and put this on there. Now all of a sudden they got a problem with the Chinese government wanting to take this stuff back. Well, Frank, we talked about it on the air that day. What happens if the Chinese government, Lou was on, I think, or somebody was on and knew something about Chinese law and said these guys can take the place back whenever they feel like it. Now what in God's name was that doing on the New York Stock Exchange in the first place? Now these three other companies, these telecommunication companies, Trump wants to boot them. Well, Do the people here have voting rights over there? I'm thinking no.
Do the members of the exchanges have voting rights?
That's another story.
When we set it out, every exchange was run by their members. They forced everybody to cash out. So what about Kelly Loeffler and her husband who own, the ICE and by extension the New York Stock Exchange?
Well, that's... Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
They want to have it so that the Bourse or the DAX doesn't get or the German exchange doesn't get it.
Well, whatever. Frank, talk to you later in a week, bud. Have a happy year. SP Futures
later.
Now up 18. NASDAQ Futures up 53. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber. In the new year, S&P futures up 18 and a quarter, and NASDAQ futures up 55. Again, these were down last night, so boy, if you want to buy the dip on Sunday nights, you've been a hot puppy for the last like 8 weeks, which means that if you did it next week, of course, then you'd probably get clobbered, but it's worked well in the rearview mirror, shall we say. Dow up 148 over in Europe. We've got DAX up 142. That's 1%. FTSE up 162. 2.5%, CAC around up 178, 1.4%. Maybe they figured out over there that all the money that the European Central Bank's pouring into the system doesn't really come from people's pockets. They're just going to make it up. Travel stocks are up 3.5%. How these places are not out of business, I have no idea, but evidently they're not. UK down 185.7%, Shanghai up 29.8%, Hang Seng up 241.9%. Again, the data which we had last week, so the Chinese manufacturing expanded in December, on Thursday, the Dow was up 196, S&P up 24, NASDAQ up 18. So it seems like every day we're between a half and 1% up. That's just what we do. Bonds, 0.93. The Bund, minus 0.58. So no change in the economy. It's evidenced by bond prices, yet the stock market continues to run. Japan up positive 0.02, where it's been for months. Oil up down 18 cents, 48 to 44. Brent up 6 cents, 51.86. Natural gas up 6 cents, 260. Arabob unchanged at 140. We've got gold up $43. That was really long gold on Friday. Not as long today, but now Thursday. So that's 2.3%. Silver up a dollar. Sure could have used that on Thursday. Copper up 7 cents. There's no inflation, though, coming. That's what the metals are telling you. Copper up 7 cents, 3.59. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Bears in the Super Bowl?
Definitely not, but they're in the party. They're in the dance. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a decent start on a Monday morning on the Chicagoland area expressways, roadways, and tollways outside of the Kennedy. We have a crash on the inbound Kennedy just before Division that's blocking the two right lanes, and this is causing traffic to build up as you're heading into downtown. From O'Hare, it's up to 22 minutes. From Montrose, it's 15 minutes. The express lanes are 8 minutes, but that'll continue to grow as traffic builds on the inbound Kennedy from that crash that just happened, blocking the two right lanes as you approach Division. Outbound side looks okay. No issues on the Edens. Eisenhower and Stevenson are all quiet if you're heading in from the west. Down south looking good, too. Off the expressways, looks like there's a road closing due to some flooding. Wolf Road between 151st and 143rd Street is closed due to flooding on the southwest side.
It's a mile away from Audrey's. I could have told you that.
Yeah, and then out in the western suburbs, we had an earlier crash, but it looks like that just went away. So they've got that all cleared. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, some flurries this morning. Not expecting any accumulation, though. We'll reach a high of 36 with overcast skies. Right now, it is 27 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 69. Right now, it's clear and 39. In sports, the Bears played the Packers relatively tough for about 3.5 quarters and then just completely fell apart. Down 5, deep in Packers territory. Bears went for it on 4th and a foot. Didn't get it. Then dropped an interception a couple of plays later that could have been a pick 6 or at least put the Bears back into deep into Packers territory down 5. And then the Packers went on to score. Bears turn it over. Packers score again. And then the floodgates opened. And Packers end up pulling away at the end, beating the Bears 35-16. So Green Bay clinches the number one seed in the NFC, so they'll be the only team with a bye in the NFC. Bears still get into the playoffs because the Cardinals lost to the Rams 18-7.
They backed in.
They backed in at 8-8, same record as last year, but this time they'll back in because they added a 7th playoff team this year. In each conference. So the Bears will be the number 7 seed, taking on the number 2 seed New Orleans Saints. And that'll be a Sunday game, 3:40 Central Time kickoff on that one. That'll be on CBS, Bears versus Saints. The early line I saw is Saints at 8.5-point favorites. Bears, of course, had a couple of guys leave yesterday, some important guys. Roquan Smith, arguably their best player on defense. Certainly their best linebacker, and a guy that calls all the defenses, and they could have used him in the second half of that game. And then Darnell Mooney, who was the receiver that, you know, had his best career game, rookie wide receiver, he left with an apparent injury as well. So we'll learn more about those guys later on. But it'll be Bears-Saints in the NFC wildcard round next Sunday. The Washington professional football team made their first playoff appearance in 5 years. They topped the Eagles 20-14 last night in Sunday Night Football to win the NFC East at, 6-9-1?
Why don't they name themselves the Gators for the Swamp?
They could. That's not a bad idea, but the Washington is in. NBA hoops, the Bulls are 3-4 on the young season. They topped the Mavericks 118-108 yesterday. Suns lost to the Clippers 112-107. College hoops, number 19 Northwestern was blown out at number 16 Michigan 85-66. Chief.
If we named them the Gators, would that be insulting the alligators?
The Florida Gators already exist.
Yeah, but momentarily. I mean, we might have to get rid of those guys, too. You never know. John, how are you?
Tom, I'm good. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you as well. We have all kinds of things going on this year. By the way, did the Clemson shot at the Ohio State quarterback, is that officially considered an assassination attempt, or what was it?
Should be.
So do you think that Clemson, especially their defensive coach, who I can't stand, wouldn't take that trade, the Ohio State quarterback, for his schlump linebacker any day?
Really?
College ball has, because they're not paying these guys officially, they could care less than people get hurt, it seems to me. I mean, just,
oh, yeah. I think that's been true for a while, too. So
that was could there possibly have been any more of a obvious attempt to injure somebody than that play?
It's a shame. I really think that college sports are on the brink of some big change is going to make them indistinguishable from pro sports in all the worst ways, probably, including the dirty plays and you know, the illegal hits and everything else. I think it's going to become even more money-driven than it is now, and that can only result in, you know, a more callous approach to the game as a sport. So I think it's going to become like rollerball, more like rollerball than it is now. So.
Oh, yeah, the rollerball. I used to watch roller derby as a kid. What was her name? Joni Weston, and who was the big, huge lady used to be? It was rugged. Maddie, have you ever watched any of the? It's got to be on YouTube. You ever watching the old roller derby?
No.
Oh God, it's something you wouldn't. They'd have the well, of course there were the guys too, but then there were the girls. The girls, they had the fast ones. They used to run around. Everybody's in a pack, right?
Right.
So the trick is you break out from the pack, and you have to pass up what the last person on the other team, you have to lap them, essentially, right, for a point. Isn't that the deal? So the trick is that the girls that would shoot out are all, you know, shall we say, very attractive, good shape, great skaters. Off they go, and the girl who's last in the pack It's got to be, you know, 260 if she's an ounce.
She's like the enforcer.
Oh God, and she's, you know, he's got orange hair or something, and she, the girl's trying to get by her, and she's literally working him. She's elbowing him right where they, you know, where you don't want to be elbowed, and all of a sudden she just flip them and they go up in the air and land right in her ass basically, and then they get up and try it again, and they all get like kicked out of the ring or land on their butt, you know, four or five times before they finally sneak by and score like 2 points. They're like, yeah. But it's all about this lady working over the good looking girl. I'd be like, whatever you liked, if you liked the big lady working on the other ones, you had her, or you liked the good looking ones trying to get by. It was bizarre world. Absolutely. And yet people love this. We used to be at the Chicago Coliseum, wasn't it, Chad?
Yeah. Am I crazy, or did they used to carry it on TV?
Oh, God, yeah. I never went there.
I remember watching. It's like the chariot race in Ben-Hur.
Yeah. But then there was actually, we had girls on from the roller derby. We started the show, didn't we, man?
We did, yeah. Chicago Roller Girls. They had a name. I can't remember what it was. We'll have to look it up. But, yeah, we had a couple of them on the show several years ago.
But in studio,
back when people used to do that.
Well, it's back. It's real big in Texas, evidently. But I don't think there's rails anymore, and I don't think there's as much. The thing's a lot bigger. So I don't think you have to go right through somebody and get basically your head beat in to get to the... But, I mean, it's sort of the same thing, I think. But I don't know if there's guys doing it. Is it just girls, Manny?
I think it's just girls as far as I know.
Oh, God. But, certainly, John, a lot of crazy stuff. The vaccines, somebody sent me something over the weekend and said if you really wanted to worry about zeroing on the deaths, somebody had a list of if you just inoculated... people over 90, you could give like 1% of the vaccines out and you would stop 20% of the, or 15. Anyway, get down to people over 70, you could give out 8 or 10% of the vaccines and you could knock out like 75% of the deaths. Because that's the way this disease is hitting people. If you're older, it's just, you know, it's just decimating. So, I mean, do you see any shred of logic in how it's being done on a state level?
Not at all. It really steers me towards thinking that the vaccine is really not about reducing mortality or preventing the spread of it. God knows what's really behind it, but I don't think it has, you know, health impact as its primary focus.
I mean, I kind of wonder in defense of... the individual presidents, I don't think they can do it. I don't know who can do it, especially now that they have to do all this stuff coordinating with the states, that some of them are just so, I won't say corrupt, I just say so inefficient. I don't think, can we do anything right? I mean, I don't see how this can't be, this is that difficult. We've known these vaccines are going to be out now for 3-4 months. Why don't we just designate hospitals to go to nursing homes? Why do we have to have this long-term contract with CVS? And what, I mean, how did they get in the fracas at all? What are they even doing here in the midst of the thing? We got to have their contract, and they got to ramp up and get people. Why? That's not their job. Why can't a hospital or the paramedics that normally do stuff, why can't they do it? Why couldn't we have hired? I mean, how hard is it to give shots? This has been ongoing now since we gave all these companies this money in what, June? And it's Operation Warp Speed or whatever, and yet the states now are all flustered. They can't do anything, right? I mean, what is going on, Jay? I can't even. I look at it and I go, how did it all of a sudden fall apart at this level when all of us have known that on a week's notice, as soon as the FDA approves something, we're going to start giving these things because they're already making them. Why? Did everybody understand this except the states or what?
Well, I've wondered for some time, you know, the flu vaccine versions have been out for a long time. And, you know, CVS and Walgreens, you know, advertising all over the place. They got the help wearing, you know, badges and, you know, signs on their hats for free flu shots or whatever. And it's like, well, free meaning exactly what? I mean, how did Walgreens and CVS get this? And it's costing somebody something to develop and market and store and administer this vaccine. It was a complete misnomer that it was free at that end, because there's clearly big money that had changed hands long before somebody went in to get a flu shot that was dictating where you went and what you got. And I thought for a long time there's something wrong with a system like that. It should cost something, and it should be administered in more than just a couple places at that price. really want wide distribution of something, and if you just want a captive audience for it, for some particular product, and have it monitored by certain vendors, well, that isn't what you do with vaccines. You might do it with some other consumer products, but I don't think you would do it with something as supposedly critical as a vaccine. So I've wondered for some time at the way these things get rolled out, that how much of it has anything to do with the quality of health among the people that they're pushing this to.
Well, so, it's hard to make, but it never actually, I think if any of us were to sit down and say, hey, look, people go to their doctor to get a flu shot, and you say, you know, you probably really don't need to sit in the waiting room and go through the paperwork and whatever you got to do. And for doctors, probably a doctor's assistant anyway, but to give you this flu shot. Somebody might say, wouldn't it be easier if we're trying to get a lot of the population, and especially if you're in 175 West Jackson, they used to have a CVS down there, and there's, you know, how many people work in the building? 4,000. Wouldn't it be easier for everybody just be able to go down to CVS and get their flu shot? The answer for a lot of people is probably yes. But I think, I'm not sure, maybe, I think a lot of doctors didn't even get the flu shot last year to give the people, did they? Or some didn't get enough, or where you had to go pretty much to the Walgreens or the CVS. I mean,
yeah. Well, I was told by my physician a couple of years ago when the subject of the shingles vaccine came up, you know, I had one version of it some years ago, and he was looking at my chart the last time I was in for physical, and he said, well, you should get this new vaccine. I can't remember the name of it offhand, which, you know, it's got a much higher success rate in fighting shingles. But he said, do not get it here at Northwestern, which is where he was on staff. He said, because it's just a fantastic sum of money that I'd have to charge you. I have it here, and I could give it to you. But he said, just go to Walgreens. And, you know, it's $10. Of course, I checked with Walgreens, and it, of course, it was out of stock.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't,
yeah.
And you need a booster, and they couldn't guarantee that you would get the booster when it was, you know, the time to administer it, because the supplies were not dependable. And I thought, well, what kind of racket is this?
Well,
I'm glad my physician was upfront enough to say I'd be throwing money away because my insurance probably wouldn't cover, you know, what Northwestern would charge for it. But why does Northwestern have to charge that much and Walgreens has to charge so little if it's the same damn thing? Something wrong in the delivery system here. And I can see the same thing now panning out with this. It's all about, you know, the profitability to somebody who gets it. And where you get it, and it has nothing to do with the effectiveness of the vaccine or the applicability in the larger population. We look at the wrong side of these questions all the time.
Well, I think the medical community, and not individual doctors, nurses, because I think those guys, you know, and ladies work pretty damn hard, are pretty competent up and down the line, maybe incredibly competent, but the industry itself, I don't know, is there... I can make a stab at it a little bit, only because one who's been a contributor to the show and a friend of mine, he's been on the show, he's been in that industry forever, and every once in a while, well, when you could do this, I'd say, hey, meet me up at the AAA, give me the last 6 months in the industry. It is like the old West. It is the most crooked thing I've ever come across. You know? Who gets what where? Who gets favored here? Who gets paid this way? Who gets paid that way? Who gets kickbacks? Who doesn't? This whole pharmacy benefit group, where they get kickbacks to Merck, where Walgreens doesn't. I mean, it is you couldn't design a system that is more crooked, or whatever. More.
Oh, I agree.
You know, and yet when you think that when Congress tries to go at it, be it the Democrats or the Republicans, I don't think the understanding is even quote there. They don't understand it. You know what. What happens with, for instance, that, what's the hepatitis drug that's, what is it, 2,000 a week for 8 weeks or something, but then you're cured? Is it fourth? It's a $40,000 run, I believe. 40 or 50 to of these hepatitis shots. I mean, I'm not, maybe Google that. We have, what's the price of the, hepatitis, is it hepatitis B drug or whatever? And there's one company that makes it, of course, they got a patent on it. And I think that some of the pharmacy benefit managers get kicked back like $15,000 or something. That the doctors don't get kicked back. I mean, it's something. If you wonder why they're not all in jail, they're not all in jail because nobody understands it. It's so confusing.
Well, the focus has really always been, and you know, this goes back a long time throughout the healthcare industry, It's the access point for where you get something that is so manipulated and controlled and Byzantine and crooked deep down. The vaccines themselves, the products, the drugs, the therapies, you can see it even in the cannabis industry, too. I mean, it's a plant that's been around for how long, for God's sake? And now it's the delivery system by which we decide who gets this storefront and, you know, what kind of license you're going to get, that just turns the whole thing into a monopoly before, you know, too long. And it's designed to become a monopoly because it's manipulated so unfairly. It has nothing to do with, you know, marketability of something across a wide spectrum of the population. It's about making sure only a few people get it, or get it, you know, the right to do it legally without fear of penalty. And all that does is just makes the thing more and more inaccessible, and more of the wrong people are making money off of it.
Well, people are choking by this, and I don't know, when you hear all this stuff from the right and the left, and everybody's fighting back and forth about some of the wrong things, a lot of what the press doesn't do, and I don't know what motivates these people. I think it motivates them is they do what people want to hear, right? So you're going to constantly be talking about Trump this, or the Democrats that, or the liberals this, or whatever. That seems to be what sells. Yet in the meantime, now Trump's executive order regarding hospitals publishing prices, and I haven't read the thing, but now when he goes, does that go with him? Is Biden going to say you don't have to put your prices out there? I mean, and why isn't that a law? I mean, it's right in the Clayton Act, for God's sake, that you can't have different pricing for people that you can't justify. I mean, why is that a flash? I mean, why hasn't the press jumped on that the last month? Because you would think that, or why hasn't the press cast, I mean, I would say if I was writing for, that was my job, man, just a very simple, letting the investment public or the public this year, the Social Security is going up, what, 1.3%, John?
Yeah.
And the drug prices, and this is the non-gamed version, I think, are going to go up 5.3% or 5.5 or something like that. When I say non-gamed, this isn't the generic drug that's bought back by the guy who made it in the first place and takes the generic from $8 back to 100. I mean, I don't think that 5.3% includes any of that. I think it includes, it probably doesn't include something coming off, a Lipitor coming off patent either, where it drops dramatically. But if you were to go back the last, say, 10 years, I'm going to say, John, if you could get those numbers, which are probably there someplace, if I could dig them out, if you're averaging 5% on the one side and you're averaging 1.5% on the other, give it another 30 years, and I got to believe your entire Social Security check's going to drugs. I mean, this is the relentless fleecing of our population that we're having. I mean, it's absolutely relentless, and we don't seem to. I don't think our governments. I mean, one of my buddies, he hasn't been on the show. He's from the Fed, and a brilliant guy in his area regarding how exchanges and governments and clearing agencies and those kinds of places, how they all interact money-wise. I mean, do you have people buying euro dollars from the U.S. and people buying dollars from the euro dollars? Do they all settle at the same time? Or do they settle an hour apart where you could possibly have a total bleep-up, right? Well, these guys are big on stuff that is so complicated the rest of us don't even. And I sit there and I listen and go, God, I never thought of that type of thing. But he went before Congress, the Agriculture Committee, because the Agriculture Committee wanted to know why the Federal Reserve wanted to have a direct link into, like, CME clearing and those kinds of places because of a clearing firm. I'm off the rails here in terms of complexity, but that's all right for a second, I guess. If an exchange, not necessarily an exchange, but if a clearing agent had, like, an extra $150 million, $2 million, $200 million last night because just the way the thing landed, under the, the Graham, who's the little guy? What's the Banking Act thing under? Frank Amendment.
Dodd-Frank.
Dodd-Frank. Mm-hmm. Well, that's considered fast money by banks. So they have to have more equity. If an exchange said we need to deposit $300 million tonight, nobody wants it. Somebody gets it straight. We got a bank that we can't give money to. I mean, I mean, how bizarre is that, right? Well, no, where else are you going to keep it? Under the chairs on the exchange floor, but there aren't any? I mean, come on. I mean, the place for $300 million overnight is in a bank, isn't it? You would think. Duh. No, they don't want it. So, anyway, these guys. So he goes in front of the Agriculture Committee, and it's on YouTube. Of course, I was giving him no end of grief about his new bereavement counselor suit, but I said, did anybody understand anything you were talking about? And he goes, the chairman did, and a couple of his staffers. He goes, everybody else was. they asked a couple of questions. They couldn't wait. Blue smoke was coming out of their ass today, but they got it. They couldn't wait to leave the room. He goes, what we even do? He goes, how long are we in front of these guys? He goes, several hours. for what? Anyway, the Agriculture Committee actually, I think, manages futures, because most of your futures start out to be agricultural futures, right?
Right.
So they wanted to know about all these clearing arrangements. He goes, half those guys talk about a blank stare. They had no idea what I was talking about. Because the chairman had educated himself on, or his staffers might have. He says, somebody knew. But, you know, anyway.
Well, maybe you could educate me, because when you and Frank were talking at the end of the first half hour about the delisting of the Chinese firms on the stock exchange, I'm trying to thread my way back to what drove this move, and ask, like you, why were these places on there in the first place if they're state-owned in China?
Well, they're not owned, but they're the way back, and I can't give you the dates and times on this stuff. The idea was that you had to have, first of all, in order for a stock to become public, for you to even take it public, it has to be registered under the 33 Act, and then there's, I get my years confused, but there's a 33 Act and there's a 34 Act, right? And a lot of the rules in there were you have an audit, you know, and what does it take for you to be essentially a public company? And these were incredible advancements of the New Deal era. Before that, in the 20s, some banker would call you up and say, buy some of this stock. When the banks were the pump and dump people in those days. And you'd say, okay, send me like their annual report. And the guy go, what's an annual report? You know, the little things that we kind of look at now and we say, wow, this is the way it's supposed to be. It was not that way. So these were advancements, you know, there's good regulation and there's bad. But the New York Stock Exchange had rules that said for somebody to be, we have to go to break here. It's kind of a longer story. We'll keep it after break. SP Futures up 17, NASDAQ Futures up 66. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie. He's Mr. Matt Weber. We have Mr. Janet Flanagan with us. S&P Futures up 18. The S&P Futures up 62. Again, these are both down last night. Not a lot, but I saw the Futures down about 6 or 7. So, it's a pretty big swing up from there. Buy the dip. Buy the dip. As I was saying before the break, Jan, to become a listing on the New York Stock Exchange was a big deal. I mean, you not only had to follow all the stuff that normally is in the 33 and 34 acts, acts of Congress, Securities Acts of 33 and 34, to be specific. You the common stock, I believe, had to have the voting rights. Now, once the common was on there, I think they also would list the preferred. They'd list, you know, some of the bonds because they wanted the trading. But the idea was that common shareholders could, you know, change the board and throw the, you know, they were actually in charge, even though as time has gone by, you've heard me and everybody else talk about how maybe you're not so much in charge because the CEO appoints his own board members, which is sort of weird. But then you started to get these big chunk changes where Alibaba, and again, this is from memory, but I think I'm probably pretty close, is I think what you get as a shareholder is you get the income stream out of Bermuda, and all the assets in the company, since they had to stay somewhere in China, essentially all the assets are with Jack Ma. But because that part stayed in China, at any given time, for cause or not cause or whatever, the Chinese could essentially take the assets, the government. So, you know, in 1958 or 1972, no way in hell that thing gets on the New York Stock Exchange. But, oh man, it's a big IPO. And the NASDAQ was always a little lighter, but I still think they had some rules. I mean, I never read their stuff, but now this thing's there. Now we have three other Chinese companies that are listed, but they're not the DVRs. There are companies where if something is listed in Europe or even South America, one of the biggest option stocks for a while was Pemex. Pemex and there was a concrete company down but those are DVRs. We are trading depository receipts from the company overseas. Now that's different. Those have been listed, but everybody knows those have a different deal going for them. So if you trade like a Royal Dutch Shell for a long time, you were trading the DVR. You were trading the stock over there, you would trade the conversion here. But everybody knew what that was, and there weren't very many of them. But now the idea that China's like pulling the strings on this Alibaba, and all these people here that have no idea that that's the story are going to lose their assets to the Chinese government, maybe if Jack Ma doesn't play ball. That has no business happening. That thing should never have been there, in my opinion. Now, were my clients, I use the term hurt because I didn't buy any of it when it went up? And I guess, you know, that's something everybody has to do, John, on their own, but I never could invest in one of these tobacco companies either, even though they pay great dividends. I mean, how could I justify that I put people's money into a stock that had, you know, 100 court actions going against it in any given day? I mean, there's a lot of other stocks that don't have that, right? I could pick those. But that doesn't mean that in the 40 years I've been doing this that I probably wouldn't have been better off putting money in the tobacco companies, right? But it's just something I didn't want to do.
Well, the thing I wonder about, and, you know, as far as I know, this doesn't prevent Americans from purchasing stock or holding it or trading stock in these companies, but it certainly seems to have a depressive effect on the value of the stock or the convenience of trading it. So what really was at stake here in your mind? Or do you feel that there was some kind of...
It's just business. It's just the business. They want the volume. The New York Stock Exchange wants to buy. But it goes where you and I, we can buy a stock on the German Stock Exchange if we want, or the London Stock Exchange. We have to make the conversion into euros. Well, I was going to say Deutschmark, show my age. You got to make the conversion into euro. In London, you don't. You got to make the conversion into pound, and you've got to buy it. So you've got two risks. You've got the stock risk, and you got the currency risk, right? So, or Japan. But you can't buy a stock in China. That's why a lot of those stocks essentially are DVRs that are traded in Hong Kong. So if you wanted to buy a Chinese company through PTI, we would be able to buy it for you on the Hong Kong exchange. We can't get it from you. Remember, Manny, how we talked 2-3 years ago for the first time they allowed a couple of mutual funds to actually have stocks on the Shanghai?
Yeah, I think so.
And but you and I can't go buy a stock on the Shanghai. So why the hell would we want Chinese stocks listed here? I mean, if you couldn't flip the DVR like you can in Mexico. I mean, if you had to, you could go buy Pemex if the price got out of hand, somebody go buy Pemex on a Mexican stock exchange and do the ARB. You can't do the ARB with the ones in China because we can't buy or sell them there. So it was so uneven, the regulations to start with. Why are they even here? Are they that hard up for volume?
Do you think it has anything deeper than that?
No, I didn't. We just wanted...
Some kind of retaliatory...
Oh, the Trump stuff, yeah. I'm saying why they got there in the first place is strictly a business.
Right. I'm worrying about the delisting here. I mean, what has triggered that? I mean, I can see if Trump thinks his time is running out, and this is a peeve of his, but I'm wondering what really do you think is behind the delisting?
John, I have a client who shall go nameless. They call me Manny Hamill when I first outpeeped this. Several years ago that they thought like Huawei, the one we can't wait to get rid of, had picked up an awful lot of the patents regarding 5G. Or what's 5G, the new cell phone thing? That they had a lot of the patents. Now, are we going to screw them out of their patents, or why do we give them the patents in the first place? I mean, what is the patent law regarding foreign people getting patents here? And what's the law here for?
Right.
I mean, does anybody... I mean, this is stuff that just happens... But I wonder why a drug company can get a patent here and take the patent overseas and pay a lease to themselves and transfer the income to another country because they put the patent in Bermuda, yet it's a U.S. patent. I mean, if I ever dug into this if I could clone and for 6 months just go study patent laws as they relate to drug companies, I think I'd be horrified.
Yep.
And I don't even know that I could relate it back to people in terms of that they would understand, because I don't understand them now. But these whole areas are just ways for people to steal, and our congressmen are so, I don't know if they were so worried about being elected or so worried about fighting with the other guy. If these companies, if their intention was to blow this crap by people, they've done it, because nobody is going to sit there and 6 o'clock news or CNBC or Fox. It's so much easier to take a shot at Trump or take a shot at Pelosi than it is to actually come up with a 3-week report into the drug business and patents and why Viagra somehow managed to get 2 more years out of a 17-year patent. Nobody wants to do that kind of work, John. And nobody maybe
Well, nobody
wants
could withstand the scrutiny that would come if they had to admit what they were, you know, receiving in order to make that happen in the first place.
Well, but
the lobbying money that got thrown around to make that happen, so.
Yeah,
how many people would be implicated, including Pelosi and other people too?
So. Well, sure. Well, that's. I mean, what? How do these people come out of there millionaires? I mean, why? I can't. I mean, I don't. Did you see the thing where both Pelosi and McConnell's house got vandalized over the weekend?
Where's our 2000? Right.
Yeah, but this is. I mean, this is like the dole in Rome. Increase the dole. Now people don't want to work. They just want their $2,000 check. It's not like, get me a job. It's give me my $2,000. I mean, there's quite a difference there, wouldn't you say?
Well, I saw this really interesting interview over the weekend, and it's an hour you got to devote to it. But it's Catherine Austin Fitz, who used to be a HUD undersecretary under George W. Bush. She goes through this whole thing. You know, these people asking her questions about what's going on with the virus and what's going on with, you know, everything else, the media, with the election, blah, 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 blah. And she says that, you know, the best economic model as far as profitability, has always been slavery, because that's you control everything, and you pay out as little as you absolutely have to in order to keep the economy, the slave economy, moving and in your favor. So if you got all these people yelling for their dole, you know, is this a sign? You know, it's like the slaves had it in some sense better than people today asking for the $2,000, because they had a roof over their head. Maybe that's all they had, and they had a, you know, allotment for clothing, and they had, you know, a job. And they weren't getting paid fairly for it. They weren't getting paid at all. But they had creature comforts, you know, that you don't have today if you don't have a job. You know, you can go live under a viaduct or whatever, but you know, that isn't everybody's dream. And I wonder if this is somehow, it's people crying out to be made slaves. Just make it official. You know, give me my dole, give me my roof over my head, and I'll be happy. It's like, how debased have we become?
I wonder, John, if what is with that? Is it, how politically incorrect can you be in the first day of the year? I'm going to say that economically, people were, in some instances, were more motivated to take care of a slave than they would an employee, and I can point to examples of that. I mean, the death rates among the Chinese workers and the railroad would never have been acceptable to a slave owner if you actually had to buy those people and they were your investment. I'm not saying anybody was nice to slaves, or I'm not going there. I'm just saying, the Irish who dug the I&M Canal and drank all day and, you know, were buried God knows all along the way. You think those people, there were no investment in those people. If a guy, you started paying a guy 10 cents an hour and he died at noon, what do you care? Another guy take his place. I mean, you could almost make the argument, and again, I'm not making any kind of an argument for slavery, but you could almost make the argument that economically, we've seen things worse in terms of, you don't care if people die along the way because you got another guy to take his place. I mean, you didn't care if that guy was healthy. I mean, when the avalanche swept 40 guys off the mountain in Sierra Nevadas, so what? Pick them up in the spring. You got 40 more guys. Let's go. Right? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, so I mean, slavery is horrendous, most disgusting thing you can even think of. Yeah, we can almost think of things that were worse. I mean, which is even. You know what men will do to men is scary, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and when there's money involved.
Yeah, let's see. I'll get this guy for $2 an hour. He croaked at noon. So what? I don't know what his relation would be to me. An uncle? No. Janice is weird. You know this better than me. My grandfather, all right, on my Irish side. My grandmother originally married, you know, Thomas Howe. Okay, well, he died in an industrial accident. He was electrocuted someplace by the stockyards. And I don't think they got any kind of settlement. They didn't get squat, right? They just got another electrician to accompany. And I don't think my grandmother got a penny. And years later, she married his younger brother, and that he was my grandfather. So his older brother, I have no idea what his relationship to me is. What would that even be? Great uncle or something? Anyway... But I mean, you think anybody cared if people croaked that worked the stockyards, or worked in those, any of those companies, and there were electrical problems, or if a cow landed on your head and you got crushed to death? Do you think anybody gave a crap?
They just moved your index card to another file drawer.
Yeah, another file drawer, and then somebody waiting at the gate. You want a job? Come on in. I mean, there's all kinds of really horrible stuff that happened to people in this country, and right now there's horrible stuff that's happening. I mean. The amount, the income disparity with what's going on here. The only thing, I mean, I don't want to see this happen, obviously. I have clients and I have stocks. If the market absolutely tanks here, it'll even things up. And if these houses go, I see people, I mean, real estate people are busy, people are buying stuff. Yeah, I know in my heart of hearts, Jen, that, if everybody has a job and everything's okay, you can go buy a house right now in Chicago and get your 2.7% mortgage. And if you're okay and you continue to work and you and your wife live there for, you know, the next 25 years and everything is cool, your family, everything is all right, which I love to have happen to everybody, you're going to be okay. Someday, Jen, that interest rate is going to be 5% and the taxes very soon in Illinois will double yet again. That it just, it's right there. It's plain in front of your face. It's the Pacific Ocean. When you walk on the beach, there it is. So if you hope you don't get divorced, I hope you don't lose your job in 4 years or 5 years. If you have to puke that house out, good luck to you. Because the next person is not going to be, he can't dive behind a less than 3% raise. He's going to have to play 5 or 6. There's no way that he's going to be able to afford that house. And not to mention the taxes being up. It's just not happening. I mean, Audrey was talking about some people, they wanted to buy some place out on the southwest side, way out southwest, and I won't name the area. And taxes are 10 grand. And the places are going for, you know, 220. Well, hell, Dan, the taxes are almost as much as the mortgage, right? Now, all of a sudden, those taxes go to 15. Who the hell's going to, I mean, who's going to buy the place? Right? I mean,
there goes your investment.
End up
walking away from it.
But I hear on the news every day, commercials, people saying the best time to buy a house is when the interest rates are low. And I know, John, that's absolutely categorically false. But what can I do? Yell at the radio?
Well, right. This is enslavement of a different kind. You're enslaved by lowering expectations all the time, and you still think you're ahead of the curve in some ways. This is the terrible message I think that people have bought, or you know, they have no choice but to buy it because of the alternative is total despair. But they really are facing a kind of enslavement, and it's been happening for a long time. This isn't just something that developed in the last 10 years or so. But there's no way really out of it because you're like you're in Plato's cave or something. Your vision of the world now is totally distorted, and you settle for so little and think yourself so lucky, and that's just getting that's becoming more and more extreme all the time. When you have people asking for give me $2,000 and I'll be happy. It's like, and then what?
How many people do you think, as we start the new year, how many people that we know expect a raise this year that will be higher than inflation?
Oh, zero.
Zero. Unless you're, I mean, why? How does it reach the point? I mean, is it just, well, obviously with the COVID or with anything? I mean, people are struggling. They don't have time to read the stuff that, you know, we fly back and forth between each other. And how does somebody, and what can you do about it? I mean, I'm not somebody who wants to go out and start firing bullets at people, but are these people going to push us to that's where it is? I mean, are we going to be sitting here 10 years from now and Nancy Pelosi is going to be 90 and she's still a figurehead for somebody? Or
still the Speaker of the House.
Still the Speaker of the House, and is McConnell still going to be? I mean, what are we doing? Who's behind these people? How is it that we can honestly say, I'm not for sending these huge checks and just printing off the money. I think that people aren't working. The unemployment should be somewhat generous because if the idea is we're working to get everybody back to work. It shouldn't be so generous that nobody wants to go back to work. It should be at the right number. And maybe the $300 a month is the right number. I don't know, but it's probably, anyway, so let's just say it is. But you couldn't get me to put my name on a piece of paper that says we're just going to give billions of dollars to airlines and the same piece of paper that we're not going to give people extended unemployment for a month. We're going to give this billions of dollars to airlines when they keep paying people. My first question is, wait a minute, how much are we paying them? Well, whatever they're making. Whoa. We're not giving people unemployed their salary before they get laid off, are we? So how is it those people we treat one way and the airline employees another way? Right. I mean,
well, as far as how these people get the power and stay in power, the Pelosi's and the McConnell's, this Eric Swalwell character, you know, the congressman from California who ran for president briefly, who was exposed to this honeypot with the scandal with the Chinese spy. I was looking around at his history, and I think he's symptomatic of something. I don't know exactly what it is, but here's a guy. He came out of University of Maryland Law School in 2006 with tons of student debt. I don't think he paid for any of his legal education, so he came out with a big student loan bill, and he had other credit card bill apparently at the time. He has, landed a series of good public sector jobs that pay, decently. He's never retired any of his student loan debt. He's cashed out one pension that he had become vested in California because he needed the money. I don't know where the money went. He has no bank account. He has no savings account or no checking account that he's ever disclosed in any of his
congressional
audits.
How can you not have a checking account?
And here's the House Intelligence Committee. So you tell me how somebody like that, what does he do with his paycheck? Does it go to somebody else in another country first? Why would you want somebody like this in an intelligence committee? And how unique is he? I suspect he's not unique at all. He's one of the poorest people in Congress, and that makes him, not that poor, but I think this is the kind of run-of-the-mill representative we have now, a totally mysterious background, totally controlled by somebody or something, and they're making policy.
Where does he cash his check? At a currency exchange?
I'd like to know. Where does his direct deposit go? It probably goes to... Maybe some of it goes to him, but it's going to somebody else first. Of course he's being blackmailed, and he's been blackmailed probably all his life in some way or another. But why do we let people like this?
Blackmail's such
Why do we not inquire more rigorously why these people are in such powerful positions, or why they're running for president, God help us,
Well, yeah, I understand that people are figuring something's wrong here. I don't think they can put their finger on it, because I can't either. But somehow...
There's something so bad and corrupt that these people are even tolerated on the public stage for 5 minutes with an embarrassing record like this. But the record is barely known. And I don't think there's anything secret about it, but it's just never talked about, and nobody's asking questions about it. And when a spy scandal like this erupts, well, of course, this guy should be drummed out of the Intelligence Committee and out of Congress, too, for God's sake.
Well,
I don't know. It makes me think that there's people who want him there, who have to have him there, and he's doing something important for somebody important enough that we don't get a chance to question why he's there at all.
Well, I was talking last week, and of course nobody likes the guy personally, but the thing that happened to Elliot Spritzer to me is a perfect example of you don't want anybody
thing, really.
I mean, he was nowhere near as good of a guy, and probably nowhere near as smart. But he was this generation's Roosevelt. He was going to be the traitor to his class. He had the capability of doing it because he knew where all the bones were buried. And yet they've absolutely no way that guy was going anywhere. Gary Hart, the same way. Gary Hart, he was a smart ass to the newsmen, which you probably shouldn't be when you're walking out of a room with somebody, not your wife in the room. But still, there's been other guys. Are we going to get rid of every single congressman or man or female who managed to have sex with somebody who wasn't their wife or husband while they were in Congress?
Well, then the thing about Gary Hart was that photo op when he was on the boat was completely staged by Lee Atwater. There was absolutely no relationship between Hart and that woman. I can't even remember her name right now, but... the whole thing was, she sat on his lap for 2 seconds, somebody snapped a picture, and I don't think Hart could have told you her name if he had ever seen her. I don't think he had met her, not met her socially, hadn't slept with her or anything. But it ruined his career. And Elliot Spitzer wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Post about the upcoming housing crisis, in 2006, and he was gone in minutes after that.
Yeah.
They published his op-ed, but that was enough to get him on the wrong side of some powerful interest, and he was destroyed.
Well, if you're a conspiracy guy and think that there's a shadow government, and I'm not sure I'm all the way that way, but if you are, and if there is, it only got way worse last year because you've shut up the entire population with this COVID. You've got people that don't even want to, are so afraid of doing anything that, I'm not saying you shouldn't be, because people are dying from this. I know people that have died from it, so it's, and people that I care about. So, it's not like I'm going to, but somewhere along the line, who's ever, I could have, the whole thing going on with this power grid now, are we just going to pour money into the economy forever? But I know this will come to a bad end, John. I just know it, because it has before in our lifetime. Now, maybe if somebody would put me in that spot, I'd say, look, let's just back off on this very easily. Let's get the economy going again a little bit. We know we're going to slide a little bit in the market. let's just try and be at the same spot without a crash 3 or 4 years from now with everybody's earnings up a little. Let's try and grow in to this market level. And let's do it gradually. Let's make sure we don't, you know, deface the dollar, for lack of a better term, or not deface it, meaning we're going to scribble it out, but damn near. Let's try and cut back to where we're going to be at 3.5% growth in the money supply, or 5 or something. Let's tone it down. Let's get some people back to work. Let's try and grow into these numbers. And yet, I don't see any, there's not even any, thought that I can see on any level that, hey, we've pushed this envelope as far as we can. Now we've got to figure out how do we rein it back in without killing everybody.
Right. There's been no real pushback, no discussion, no kind of tracking of what's really happening or what kind of a hole are we digging and what are we going to do to get out of it and how long will that take? If this is something that people should be fully apprised of and aware of the dangers. I mean, it isn't like we've been down roads like this before and we know pretty much how it plays out.
Well, the difference
is now pushing the limits on people's, you know, credibility or credulity, I should say, that this is okay. We don't have to worry about anything here. That this is, you know, going to resolve itself somehow. And it's so unfair to people who have any kind of curiosity or have any kind of track record in their families with bad times. It's not fair to treat them so cavalierly. They're entitled to know what the stakes are here.
Well, the thing that I wish I had. Try and get our buddy Hal Snar back on one of these days. If we're trying to get somebody in the Chicago, or actually probably Russell can get a monetarist out of Loyola. I'm just so curious as to why this time, maybe because where the inflation is starting in a different spot, that it's going only into asset prices, where in the late 70s it went into interest rates and the asset prices actually went down because interest rates went up so fast. But now it's not recognized in the interest rates. I mean, people are willing to give people money in Germany.
I think that's true. I think that really is true.
And in the middle class, the people, the older, certainly the retired people, the older people, they did fine because your interest rate, your rate at the bank was always slightly higher than the inflation rate. So your money, if you invested it, even at a risk-free rate, never backed up. But now it clearly is. I mean, if you put, you know, 200 grand in a bank and get back at the end of the year, you know, 201 maybe, if you're lucky, it's not keeping pace with the inflation number. I mean, clearly, I mean, with the prescription drugs up 5% and everything else, I mean, you need 10 grand just for the prescription drugs, right?
To say nothing of haircuts.
Yeah, everything else. or you know, restaurant meals. You know why that's happening, because, you know, it's costing so much for these guys to be open per patron that, you know, the prices are going up. But at the same time, I'm getting a little tired of the $12 or $13 omelet. I know the eggs cost 2 cents, right? I mean, it starts to get there. But I mean, you wonder, what is it just going to be asset prices flying up this time? Anyway, John, we'll talk about it. I'll see you some night this week. We're going to probably get together some of the contributors if we can.
Let's do it. I'd love to.
Maybe we'll even bring Matty Weber with us, as long as he buys, right?
I'll help out, man.
SP Futures up 15, NASDAQ Futures up 59. Come back, Mr. Mike Hart, and tell us all about what the market's going to do, because he's our Ouija board when it comes to this VIX, and the VIX tells all. We'll be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do at PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Alley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Manny on a break here. I'm listening to, I'm not listening. I'm watching CNBC, and they got some guy on here, and he's one of their top guys talking about, is the rally durable? And he's got some huge graph here of the CBOE volatility index. And I'm going to say our guy Mike Hart is better than this guy. Just S&P futures up 15, NASDAQ futures up 60. So if they really want to know what's going on, they should be tuning in here. Dow is up 112. It's up. We were up a little higher than this earlier, but of course we were down last night as well. So this year, if you replay last year, I'm going to say virtually every Sunday night that we were down, you wanted to buy. There's probably a few you wouldn't have, but if you could roll retrade last year, I think I could just play a lot of golf and just buy dips on Sunday night. Anyway, over in Europe, we've got, and again, you can't trade last year. We got to trade this year. DAX up 152, that's 1.1%. FTSE up 180, 2.8%. Now, they've been lagging, but now they're shooting up here. Maybe they decided maybe they're going to give people half doses, Matty, of the new AstraZeneca drug, which is weird. Kekron up 88, that's 1.6%. We're in Asia, Nikkei down 185.7, Shanghai up 29.8, Hang Seng up 241.8, as the Chinese are still celebrating their manufacturing numbers. In December, actually, were higher. Not so sure if that was predicted or not, but anyway, 10-year, still at 9.92, 0.93, 0.928 to be exact. One minus 0.59, so no shred of any kind of increase in the economy over in Europe, as evidenced by the bonds. Now, the stock market, another story. Japan, 0.03 now almost, so it's up a little bit. Oil, down 19 cents, 48.33. Brent down 7 cents, 51.87, so very quiet. Natural gas, however, up a dime, 2.64. And RBOB is unchanged at 141. Gold, however, big rally at $45, 1940 in gold. Silver up $1.11. Sure wish I had my calls I had on Friday. They were not worthless. This is not good. Copper up 8 cents, 360. So we're starting to get some metals inflation for sure, which 2% jump in gold, 4% in silver. Now, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Kennedy inbound still remains our slowest moving expressway due to an earlier crash that happened last hour on the inbound side near Division. That crash has been clear, but some resulting congestion. You'll start seeing brake lights as you approach Diversey heading toward downtown on the inbound side of the Kennedy. And it looks like O'Hare to downtown is up to 30 minutes from Montrose. We're at 20 minutes. The express lanes remain fast at just 8 minutes, but the inbound Kennedy is our slowest moving expressway due to that earlier crash. Outbound side looks okay, not affecting the Edens either. Eisenhower and Stevenson have been quiet all morning. Same for the Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. No significant delays to report on any of those expressways. Lakeshore Drive has been quiet all morning, too. We do have a dense fog advisory out there in some of the outlying counties, so keep that in mind. That may delay your travel times just a bit, but not too bad in the city. Weather today, as I mentioned, clouds and fog early, a high of 36. Right now it's overcast and 28 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 69. Right now it's clear and 40. In sports, the Bears are playoff bound in spite of losing to the Packers 35-16 yesterday. Game was a lot closer than the final score would indicate, but the Packers pulled away late. But the Bears still got in because the Arizona Cardinals lost to the Rams 18-7. So the Bears will face the Saints on Sunday in the wild card game. That's going to be a 3:40 Chicago time kickoff on Sunday from New Orleans. Sunday night football, it was Washington over the Eagles 20-14, so the Washington professional football team wins the NFC East and makes the playoffs for the first time in several years. NBA basketball, Bulls over the Mavericks yesterday 118-108, Suns lost to the Clippers 112-107, and in college buckets, number 19 Northwestern lost to number 16 Michigan 85-66. Chief.
Matt, you mentioned in the first report that Wolf Road was closed.
That's right. Due to flooding.
Not exactly. They actually, whoever the civil engineer was on the job. Hey, Mike, how are you? I'll be brief with this.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. And this is how they have a civil engineer. Even though the road has been fixed recently, there's a low spot, and the guys must have decided to hell with it. We're not going to fix the low spot. So whenever you get a lot of moisture, you get water at this low spot. All right. So we haven't had that much moisture, but there was some water there last week. And as it got colder, of course, nobody will slow down for this essentially water that covers half the road. So when you hit it at like 50 miles an hour, what happens is, for those who maybe should think about it and don't know, that the water on the underside of your car is sent to distribute over your next several hundred yards, right? So what these idiots did is they essentially dragged enough water up the hill, and it got froze, that the entire roadway froze.
Oh, wow.
But it was distributed. If everybody just slowed down, going through the thing at like 5 miles an hour, like if you had a brain in your head, instead of blasting through it at highway speed, they managed to get this ice like almost all the way up this huge hill.
Oh my god!
So it became a skating rink coming down. So they said they had to close it. How bizarre is that? I mean,
and they can't just salt it.
Yeah, but the water's still down on the bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess. But they're going to have to fix it somewhere. Anyway, Mike. Why aren't you on CNBC giving this story instead of talking to us? I'm just saying, you know.
What fascinates me about, and this isn't directed at CNBC, this is directed at general predictions that happen every year at the beginning of the year. Predictions are just that. They're predictions. Sometimes they're out of any realm of real possibility, because they fail to mention that all of this stuff can be broken down into probabilities. And we have a metric that actually gives us the probabilities of any of these things happening. And the way we can do it, we can look today at the VIX. And right now we can say with a 68% probability of certainty, 68%, which is equal to one standard deviation. We often call that the expected move. We would say one standard deviation expected move for this year based on current prices. The expectation is about 23% based on the VIX right now. What does that mean? Well, if we look at the current level of the S&P 500, I'm looking at the futures, ES, we're trading 3,764 right now. Around 23% would be the range of 2,900 on the downside and 4,550 on the upside, and we can actually give a probability about that. And whatever the, you know, gurus on TV are giving you, go to an option chain and go to the end of the year and see what that price is pricing in now as a probability. The way you do that, look at the delta and subtract it from 100. That's going to be your probability of success or failure.
Mike, what on a very short term, I'm going to get back to what you just said, but on a very short term basis, we got a long weekend, so it's very confusing. On an up day like this, when you see the VIX up 40 cents, what does that tell you? I mean, to me, it's very unusual that we'd be up on an up day.
Right, and that is unusual. It usually is the opposite. You have an up day, you have a down VIX. Some people view that as a sign that more volatility is on the way, and some people view it as a sign that we're near the top. Volatility is expanding as we're making new highs. There's this fear that's slowly slipping into the market that maybe we see a downturn, and that probability of a downturn is just increased a little bit by the VIX increasing. Remember, VIX doesn't increase as we go higher. If the expectation is that we're going to keep going higher, most people are long, everyone's making money, a lot less fear on the street. The fear becomes, what if the market turns around and goes down? That's where fear really comes in. That's when people start losing money, people get scared, and you see the acceleration to the downside is much faster than the appreciation to the upside. We sort of inch our way up, and then we jump off the cliff on the way down, because when people are selling, fear increases, more people sell, and then you have a panic rush for the door, and that speed of or the velocity of the move is typically much faster. Over the course of 3 days back in March, we saw a tremendous change in price to the downside, and you know, we never see that type of move to the upside.
No, not usually as fast, but it trends to the upside more, so it seems to anyway. All the stuff that we say happens can all change. How much, Mike, even though it's hard to put any kind of connection, I try and put none, but I think none is not the right answer. How much does the serious turnaround of the Bitcoin making new highs last night and turning around 10% like in a nanosecond, has that opened up a few eyebrows for the market and some of these stocks? Don't seem to be, it seemed like they're almost Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, you know, Bitcoin is playing a larger role, and some of those correlations that we've been looking for with Bitcoin, they're starting to move into the market. Bitcoin's becoming a real established, I'm not going to call it quite a currency. It's becoming associated better with currencies, and we're developing correlations and expectations around the movement of Bitcoin and other currencies. A lot of times we hedge Bitcoin off of other types of coins, so there's a lot of different coins out there. A 10% move, though, in Bitcoin, it's hard to say what the catalyst is based on outside market movement. What are your theories, Chief, on what could be moving Bitcoin? 10% is a very large move overnight. Without seeing, I don't believe we saw any major movement in currencies overnight.
No, but we have a huge move up in gold and silver, which is a little unusual. Because I was way longer last week, so I'm a little miffed at that. But Mike, how do you, when you look at different views? I mean, if you just put your blinders on and you saw the disaster of last year in terms of the COVID and the businesses, and even though the federal government poured money out to some people and seemingly, you know, whatever, if you're in the end, you had the right lobbyists, you did pretty well. But if you look at the spot we're in, and now it looks like vaccines are coming out, whether it'll be 2 months, 3 months, I mean, it's a lot closer than it was last May. And you're going to say, okay, there's a lot of downtowns like Chicago, although it can't be too many worse, that the only place to go is up, that we're going to start coming back from this. And by the way, that should be good for the economy and good for the markets. I mean, there's no doubt that if you just looked at the handwritten prose of what's going on, you would say now would be the time where you'd kind of want to be long because things are coming back. Yet, if you look at the numbers in the stock market, you'd say, yeah, but wait a minute, doofus, we're higher than we were before COVID even started. And you'd shake your head and go, that can't be. How can that be? I mean, at least when we're talking about, there's a headline here talking about the differences in 2008. Well, 2008, things went to hell for quite a long time. And only when things started to shake out a little bit and some people, you know, started to find a light at the end of the tunnel, did the market actually start coming up. But it started coming up from a very low base. It wasn't like it was higher than it was before the 2008 fiasco started. I mean, it's, I mean, the idea that, that these companies are somehow worth more than they did a year from now and will only go up from here, in terms of real dollars, I don't see that. That intuitively makes zero sense, Mike, but, you know, market does what it wants to do. And they, the only, the wild card here continually becomes the Fed, right? I mean, what, yes, what, and I, go ahead.
No, I think definitely it's the Fed, and I think definitely you can say it's the Fed in the monetary stimulus, fiscal stimulus that has gone, has played a huge role in keeping this market supported. In fact, if you didn't know the world events going on and just look at this year based on chart action, you might say, well, it was a volatile year, no question about it, very volatile. And let me give you a quick number here. In when you talk about percentage of days with range of movement greater than 50 points, in 2013 we saw 0 days like that. 2018 we saw 0% of the days like that. And in 2020, 16% of the day saw ranges of greater than 50% movement. In fact, this year, past year, was the largest range we've ever seen in the S&P 500. There's been a ton of movement, but at the same time, just looking at a chart, you might say, well, it looked like it was a very strong year in the economy, and things went really well. And the backdrop of that is, it was a strong year based on the numbers, but we know that that came at the expense of massive debt that has been accumulated. And this 100% is a Fed and a fiscal-driven market at this point. And, you know, should we see the vaccine work, which is that is appears based on the number and where we're at in the market, that appears to be certainly an expectation, or it's certainly a higher probability that it will. Should we see that work? I don't see the massive spike to the upside from here, even though you would think that you should see a huge spike should it start working. I feel a lot of that is already pumped in here, and we wouldn't see as big of a spike as might be expected.
Well, what I read some numbers earlier, Mike, earlier in the show, talking about money supply numbers, and we're talking 60, 70, 80, 110 billion a week pouring in from the Fed. And they'll tell you when there's last news conference, we're going to just keep buying stuff. Now, if that, I mean, I can't imagine what would happen to the market right now if that just plain stopped. But what if it went the other way? I mean, what if they started dragging that money out every week? I can't even imagine where these companies that are all trading $200 and $300 and $400, you know, 150 times earnings and 10 times revenue. I don't see those things not dropping like a stone, like a, it wouldn't even be like a stone in water. It'd be a stone on land. I mean, am I just totally screwed up with this or what?
No, I think that's the only thing that's propping them up right now. And I think the goal of this massive monetary infusion is to avoid just that. I think it's the certainty of collapse that they're trying to avoid, and they're throwing every weapon possible to keep the economy supported during this time period, with the expectation that wealth creation, and that's a key term here, it's wealth creation, begins to pick up, and hopefully picks up in a dramatic way to make up for this huge, huge detriment that we saw over the past year. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't continue for another year. Hopefully we do start seeing a greater transfer of wealth between based on actual economics as opposed to just adding money into the system, which we know over a very long run certainly cannot be the plan of action. There needs to
Mike,
be,
what do you, why do you suspect, I mean, if you were to go back to April and May, I would have said, okay, you got to put some money into the system because the money supply is going to drop on its own because of what's happening. So you needed to add stuff just to keep things even, right? That part I get. But now it appears that with the vaccines and stuff, do we really need that motivation right now? I mean, today, do they need to pour $20 billion into the system? I mean, maybe today, but I mean, certainly a month or two from now, if these vaccines starting to do what they're supposed to do, you should see the economy healing itself. You don't need to keep pouring. I think at this stage, what we're really doing is we're helping some people with the detriment of other people at this point.
Right.
And I think the people who are being helped are the people in charge. But right now, the people that you and I know that are making the 40 grand working at wherever they're working for, you know, I won't say Amazon because nobody there is making 40. But those people, the last thing they need is a 10% inflation this year because they're not going to be making 44 grand next year. I guarantee you.
That's right.
So somebody is making out like a bandit here, and it's the guy who sells his house and goes and rents at some point for a year and gets to get back in someday. But nobody does. I mean, the people with the stock. I mean, how many people do you know that are 401ks, just regular schmoes, are going to turn around tomorrow and say, you know what, this is too high and they're going to get out of it? They're not. If it goes back down, they're going to ride it all the way down. Right? I mean, who do you know is going
to... No doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You know, there's a certain amount of time that is required before massive changes such as, I'm going to get out of this, I'm going to play the market. When your long-term strategy is a passive one of buy and hold, it really doesn't make sense to try and play market movement. We know over time the market tends to appreciate. There's so much uncertainty this year, but you got to take it with a grain of salt. Look to the VIX market to help you gauge the amount of uncertainty. And as it stands right now, there's about a 20% buffer to the upside or the downside for expectation of movement. Will things get better? Hopefully. But you got to keep an eye on volatility and you got to keep an eye on those market prices. I don't think it's hard to say what to do on that big down move. It's hard to say I'm going to wait for the market to move down and decide to sell my position out. That's almost nearly impossible because the market, when it moves to the downside, it's precisely that reason. It moves so quickly to the downside that you can nearly never get out at a very good price. Being proactive, it's very hard to do. You're right. A regular person who owns a house isn't going to dump the house and wait for the price to come back up. It's not realistic, and it's not realistic to expect an American public, which generally buys and holds stocks and holds them till retirement, is going to dump their holdings, sit in cash, and then wait for a downturn in order to get back in.
Well, what you end up finding out, Mike, and by the way, you're 99% of the way there, when you manage money for people, and again, you don't manage your own money for people in their 401ks, but people ask me all the time what they should do with it. If you're Maddie Weber and you're contributing every week, you don't even worry about it. Even if you think the market's high and you might be a correction, so what? Maddie's got 60 more years or 50 more years to work, for God's sake. And because who knows, it might be 90 by the time he gets there before you get your Social Security. But I have people that I know that are literally a year away from retirement, and they'll tell me, God, I mean, after last year, I mean, I never dreamed that this thing would be up this much. And I said, well, if you want, I mean, and I'm really worried about what the number is going to be a year from now. I said, well, then lighten up. How can I lighten up? It makes money every day. I mean, yeah. There's a big difference between that person and somebody who's 35, right? I mean, if you you know, if your thing that you thought at this time would be $1 million to retire on, if it's $2 million and you think you'll never have another year like last year, God, if you can't go to 75% investment, what's wrong with you? I'm not saying, right. You know, it's right or wrong, but by the time you give people 10 questions, you ask them, Mike, and see the way they walk in and talk to their wife and what, and their kids, and find out if the kids need money. The strategy kind of pops out at you. It really has nothing to do with your opinion of the market, right? It has to do with the people. And I think
it really comes down to risk. And it's an appropriate allocation of risk. And time frame matters dramatically when you're talking about risk. When you're talking over the next decade, 10 decades, 5 decades, it's a whole lot different risk story than over the next year.
That's
so I completely agree. If you have an expectation of moving a lot of the assets out of current holdings relatively in a shorter period of time, then it doesn't make sense to have 100% still at work.
Mike, we got a dash, bud. We're going to see you tomorrow, or are you going to hear from Jeff?
I think it might be Jeff.
Okay, bud. If not, we'll talk to you next week. Happy New Year for you and your whole gang. SP Futures up 12. They were up 16 earlier. NASDAQ Futures up 54. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.